CFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. Prosecutors say Donald Trump was acting outside the scope of his duties as president when he pressured state officials and then Vice President Mike Pence to try to overturn his 2020 election defeat. That from a court filing just made public.
This pleading is an outline of the big case against Donald Trump for what happened on January 6th, and saying that he is not entitled to immunity because he wasn't acting as a president. He was acting as a candidate.
Former federal prosecutor Lori Levinson.
He was reaching out to states and others to find ways to basically not have to give up power. And at the time he did it, he knew it was a fraud.
The former president was initially charged in August 2023, and the special counsel filed a new, narrower indictment to comply with the Supreme Court's immunity decision. Trump has pleaded not guilty and denies any wrongdoing. CBS News Special Report, I'm Matt Piper.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The risk of wildfires is higher than normal this week. The Department of Natural Resources is asking people to check for fire danger levels before doing any outdoor burning. The forecast calls for dry, windy weather. The main cause of wildfires this time of year is burning brush and leaf piles. Donald Trump returns to Milwaukee for the first time since accepting the Republican nomination for president. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
Trump delivered a subdued speech focusing on educational matters, particularly criticizing the low reading proficiency rates in Milwaukee public schools. The former president also addressed recent events in the Middle East.
I think even Iran would have been in the Abraham Accords. Ultimately, it would have been great for everybody, and you would have had peace in the Middle East.
Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. The Sun and Tag has announced it will ring in the new year in style with a performance by the Harlem Globetrotters. According to a press release, the Globetrotters will perform at the arena on January 2nd, bringing captivating basketball skills and humor to area residents. The Globetrotters were founded nearly 100 years ago and have entertained audiences across the world with their trick plays and loose relationship with the rules of basketball. Tickets are available now and can be purchased on the Sun and Tag's website. An Eau Claire Burger King was forced to close on Tuesday morning after a car crashed into the side of the building. According to law enforcement authorities, the crash happened at around 11:30 a.m. on Tuesday morning at the Burger King on Texaco Drive. The driver of the car that crashed into the building had reportedly stepped on the gas pedal instead of the brake mistakenly and lost control of the vehicle. The driver of the car suffered minor injuries. Authorities are still investigating the circumstances of the crash. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers face elimination tonight. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. The Brewers will play the Mets today in Game 2 of the best-of-three wildcard round. Yesterday, the Mets defeated the Brewers 8-4, retiring the final 17 batters to take the win. Willie Adames says the Brewers know it's all on the line tonight.
We are undaunted. We're going to come out and give the 100% out there on the field and, you know, and we got to win or we go home. So the mentality is we got to win no matter what. We got to figure out a way to win and, you know, do our best.
First pitch is after 6:30 p.m. If the Brewers win, they'll play a decisive Game 3 tomorrow evening. The Green Bay Packers will try to bounce back this week as they play the L.A. Rams on Sunday after losing last weekend to the Minnesota Vikings. Kickoff this Sunday against the Rams is after 3 p.m. on Sunday. The Milwaukee Bucks announced their 2024 training camp roster on Monday. Camp begins tomorrow for the Bucks. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cusco with Civic Media Sports.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cooler tonight with a low in the mid-40s. Not as warm tomorrow, high upper 60s with increasing clouds. Sunny and upper 60s on Friday, breezy for the weekend, upper 70s Saturday, only mid-60s Sunday. Currently at 75 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the, not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure, like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad, or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Todd Albaugh. Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll discuss the new film Closure, the story of the closing of our two-year campuses, and also look ahead to a visit from Vice President Harris next time.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap Eau Claire, Chippewa Valley's home for the Todd Albaugh Show.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for tuning in. Join us on the lines 855-752-4842. It's a phone line. It is a text line. You got Jess on the board on the phones taking care of you. Got Matt Rothschild in the studio with me. Matt, thanks for sticking around, man.
Oh, having fun. It's been a big news day today.
Yes, it has. Special guest coming up at the bottom of the hour, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, going to join us. Going to catch up on the election cycle, what's happening here in Wisconsin. Looking forward to that as well. With the breaking news, there's this unsealing of this Jack Smith document, this filing. We spent a lot of time on that. But there was, and we didn't get to, my thought was, Matt, we start the day off talking about the debate last night, but that's how the news cycle goes. The debate last night.
Oof. You know, I got to be honest. I was hoping Walz would do a better job than he did.
Yes, as was I.
Especially at the beginning. I mean, he was really nervous.
Yeah.
He was talking in shorthand sometimes. He talked a ton about Minnesota. He's not running for governor of Minnesota again. His answer about Tiananmen Square was horrible. And, he did catch some wind at his back there in the second half. So I was glad he was rallying.
I think and similarly to the Harris-Trump debate, I think Kamala kind of started out a little slow.
Yeah,
she recovered quickly.
She did. She was slow for the first answer, but then she started to really.
It took Walz a little bit more, man.
And, it was just like he's hitting you time and time again, and you're not responding. I mean, there were so many places. Climate change, he's talking about increasing drilling for energy and increasing manufacturing, and that's going to help the climate crisis. I mean, he couldn't respond to that. On abortion, when Vance said he wanted to, we need to trust women more. I mean, Vance has made all these horrible statements about women. Of course they're not trusting you. Right. Why didn't he just give him a quick uppercut on that? Mm-hmm. So it was just frustrating as an observer of politics for 45 years now. 50 years, actually, because I was a little geeky kid in 72 handing out leaflets for Georgia McGovern.
Aww.
You can do the math on that. But, I like to see, someone perform well who I like a lot. I like Walz a lot.
Yeah.
I thought he ended real strong. I thought his closing statement was terrific. I thought his comment about the elections where he says that's a damning non-answer was probably the best line of the night.
And I think that for me was the debate. That was the debate. And that has continued today. Corey Lewandowski was being interviewed. He couldn't today wouldn't say that Donald Trump lost the election. You know what I mean? This prevails in the mega party, man. This
totally. I mean, also Vance said, he wouldn't commit to abiding by the certified results again. Trump yesterday in Wisconsin said he wouldn't abide necessarily by the certified results that come in. So, the lie, has gone around the world 1,000 times, and truth is still getting its boots on.
Yep, yes, it is. The I agree with you, man. There were a lot of times there I thought, and it's easy for us, you know, to Monday morning quarterback, right? We're not there. We're not in the thing, doing the thing with the lights on and, you know, the prep. And I was concerned, you know, God, please don't over prep the guy. You know, don't over prep. Let him just kind of be who he was. And I think he kind of came out of that a little. I thought maybe he was too prepped to some degree.
I think so, too. And, you know, the first question, I mean, Vance handled it very well about Iran. You know, we'll consult with Israel. We'll support Israel. And then, but before he gave that answer, he gave his personal background.
Right.
He gave his opening statement, if
basically,
you will.
Basically, yes.
And we never heard the opening statement from Walls.
No, because Walls got right. He answered the question. And you know, and it goes to show you, I mean, certainly Vance on style and presentation, man, I mean, that dude's good.
But maybe too good by half. He was a little sleazy,
yeah.
A little oily,
a little slippery. A little.
A lot.
I actually couldn't wait for it to be over. It seemed really long. Jamel Bowie from the New York Times, they had a bunch of their columnists, you know, have their opinions on what they thought of it. And Steffi, my wife, sent me this one this morning. I thought it was pretty spot on. Let's read a little quick paragraph here. He said, it's a pretty straightforward verdict. Vance won the debate. It's not hard to see why. He has spent most of his adult life selling himself to the wealthy, the powerful, and the influential. He is as smooth, as practiced as they come. He has no regard for the truth. He lies as easily as he breathes. We saw this throughout the debate. He told Americans there are 20 to 25 million illegal aliens, a lie. He told Americans that Mexico is responsible for the nation's illegal gun problem, a lie. He told Americans that Trump actually tried to save the Affordable Care Act, a lie.
Yeah, that was awful.
If Vance had to sell the benefits of asbestos to win the office, he would do it well and with a smile.
He also said Trump peacefully handed over power.
But it was later in January. It wasn't January 6th. Yeah. So I think there's a lot of meat on the bone that Walls could have gone after and didn't. And, you know, that was the disappointing part for me. But I also, to Bowie's statement here about the lies, and I think this is what I took away. I saw, you know, a couple of flawed guys up there, right? And I saw them have to address some of the things they said and how they responded to it. And as Jamel in the New York Times writes, Vance was smooth, man. He just lies, just flows like water. He'll look at you, and he'll lie to your face, and he'll just follow it up, and he'll be very earnest and strong about it. Mm. When Walls was cracked to about the Tiananmen Square comment, when he was in China during that happened, of course, he traveled over there with his students and whatnot. Apparently, he was off by a couple months. Apparently, he, I don't know, lied or misrepresented his timing there. He got all wide-eyed and looking around, and didn't really have a great response to it. So when I see guys lying and their physical reaction to it, I prefer a guy like Walls than a guy like Vance, man. Walls, and I don't understand this part of it. Oh, my, yes, I was totally wrong on that. I was off by 2 months. It was a long time ago. I apologize for being incorrect. But, the point is that I've seen what happens in communist China and da-da-da-da-da-da. That's it. You don't have to call yourself a knucklehead. Right. You don't have to admit anything beyond a misspoke or a misdate or something along those lines. I think those kinds of things could have been handled better by Walls. But if your instinct or your physical reaction to throwing out some BS is to physically show it like Walls was, I prefer that in a guy than Vance, who sit there and lie to your face while he's peeing down your leg.
Than the studied liar.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought Walls should have been prepped on that one. I don't know. So it was frustrating to watch as a Walls supporter. I don't think it will make any difference. Ultimately, it was a pretty close debate with the second half, certainly the fourth quarter going to Walls, hands down. And I think the more people look at what actually Vance was saying and was trying to pull over on us, the worse Vance looks.
Especially if you look at the transcript. Yeah. I didn't watch the debate all entirely live, but I did read the transcript. And reading back through the transcript, man, you can see every time that Vance lies. And you can see where Walls does pick up on that. You can see where he defends himself and where he puts forth a very strong performance. And it didn't necessarily come through as you were watching.
Yeah, because he was herky-jerky.
Yeah.
He didn't finish his sentences and
misspoke a few times.
It was just hard to follow. Even little things like instead of calling it the Affordable Care Act, he called it the ACA. I mean, these abbreviations are kind of Washington speak, but you know, who out there talks about the ACA all day long? It's either Obamacare or the Affordable Care Act. So it was just little things like that that bugged me. And the big thing that bugged me is he just didn't come out swinging when he got a lot of opportunities.
He had a lot of opportunity to do that.
The one thing I did like, you know, that said, it was nice that there was a civil conversation about politics and that it wasn't just the hate mongering and the scowling and the rumor mongering that we hear from Trump all the time.
Yeah.
So the tone was better on both sides.
And I think they made a point. They both agreed with each other on some things, which was a nice change of pace for a debate.
But from a debate coach, I would never coach a candidate to nod while the other guy is speaking, especially because he kept falling in the trap Walls did, because Vance was saying things that Walls could agree with originally at the beginning, but Walls wasn't figuring out that Vance was about to turn the knife on Kamala Harris. And so that's just a bad look. You know, you've been nodding through three quarters of what he's got to say, and then, oops, he stabs my boss in the back.
855-752-4842. Talking about the vice presidential debate, we have some sound. Just did the hard work. Let's hear about who is going to honor democracy. Walls from yesterday, cut one, please, Jess.
I see a candidate out there who refused, and now again, and this, I'm pretty shocked by this, he lost the election. This is not a debate. It's not it's not anything anywhere other than in Donald Trump's world. Because look, when Mike Pence made that decision to certify that election, that's why Mike Pence isn't on this stage. What I'm concerned about is, where is the firewall with Donald Trump? Where is the firewall if he knows he could do anything, including taking an election, and his vice president's not going to stand to it? That's what we're asking you, America. Will you stand up? Will you keep your oath of office, even if the president doesn't? And I think Kamala Harris would agree. She wouldn't have picked me if she didn't think I would do that, because of course that's what we would do. So, America, I think you've got a really clear choice on this election of who's going to honor that democracy and who's going to honor Donald Trump.
Governor, you're...
I mean, wow, that was some of his best stuff right there. Yeah, I thought
that's right. I mean, he really got his stuff together toward the end there with defending our democracy.
Let's talk cut number two regarding abortion, if you would please, Jess.
Former President Trump said in the last debate that you believe abortion, quote, in the ninth month is absolutely fine. Yes or no? Is that what you support? I'll give you 2 minutes.
That's not what the bill says. But look, this issue is what's on everyone's mind. Donald Trump put this all into motion. He brags about how great it was that he put the judges in and overturned Roe versus Wade, 52 years of personal autonomy. And then he tells us, oh, we send it to the states. It's a beautiful thing. Amanda Zaworski would disagree with you on it's a beautiful thing. A young bride in Texas waiting for their child at 18 weeks. She has a complication, a tear in the membrane. She needs to go in. The medical care at that point needs to be decided by the doctor. And that would have been an abortion. But in Texas, that would have put them in legal jeopardy. She went home, got sepsis, nearly dies, and now she may have difficulty having children.
Again, the abortion issue, Walls just clobbered Vance on. And Vance's response was, no, you know, when I was running for senator, I didn't want a nationwide ban. I just wanted some, you know, limitations.
But he did want a nationwide ban.
No, of course he did. But don't you dare fact check him or turn off the mics, because Megan will think you're trying to interfere with the election. It should never happen. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. You can interfere with this contact with this conversation, 855-752-4842. Going to come back. We have more of the breakdown of the debate last night and Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez joining us at the bottom of the hour.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
She is performing in Wisconsin. Charo, you might want to end up moving here because you're going to have that great of a time in Baraboo. Let me just ask you this. Do you like cheese?
I love the cheese. I'm going to be eating cheese for 24 hours. It's a great... Not really. You have a great reputation with the cheese. Wisconsin cheese is very, very famous.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health. Because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Matt and Air on Air.
The vice presidential debate. Mike from Kenosha is on the line.
Isn't it the whole purpose of a debate to be on television for the public benefit? The narrative, questions, fact-checking, it's inconsistent at best.
You're absolutely right, Mike. Mainstream media is bailing massively by trying to both sides everything and sane wash everything.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. It's a phone line. It's a text line. We got some texters coming in here. Andrew from Maine, he texts in. I appreciate the moment when the moderators informed Vance he had 23 seconds left of his time and would he like to answer the question asked. Yeah, that was nice. The time limit pushed Walls more than Vance. I suspect Walls is not used to talking quick. WMDX says Walls should have pointed out the fact that almost all of Trump's crappy products are made in China. Well, I mean, could go there as well. Thank you for joining. The last clip we played was of Walls talking about abortion. Vance did have a comment on abortion. That's going to be cut number two, Jess. Let's play Vance's response to that.
Now, of course, Donald Trump has been very clear that on the abortion policy specifically, that we have a big country and it's diverse. And California has a different viewpoint on this than Georgia. Georgia has a different viewpoint from Arizona. And the proper way to handle this, as messy as democracy sometimes is to let voters make these decisions, let the individual states make their abortion policy. And I think that's what makes the most sense in a very big, a very diverse, and let's be honest, sometimes a very, very messy and divided country.
But, you know, what a bunch of crap.
What a bunch of crap.
And that's all he does. He was just spinning crap last night. I mean, what about, you know, prohibition on intermarriage. Yeah.
Right, right.
You know, Mississippi has a different view than Wisconsin.
Yeah, a lot of people. Yeah, this is a big country. Some people don't want interracial marriage. Some people don't want gay marriage. So we'll just leave it to the states. You know, some people don't want, you know, black kids and white kids going to school together.
Right.
We'll leave it up to the states. I mean, we've done this before. There's a reason some things aren't left up to the states.
Right. You know, do we believe in rights or do we not believe in rights? Are rights universal or are they just at the border of whichever state you happen to be in?
Exactly.
Come on, man.
I know. But he says it was such.
Oh, yeah. It was all rehearsed.
He makes it sound so reasonable.
Yeah, it's totally fine. We got a big, diverse country. So, you know, if we don't want this to happen, we should leave it to the states. Well, of course, you heard our comments on that. What else we have here? So the healthcare question. I got to love this one. Remember Trump said the concept of the plan? Let's play cut number one from Vance, please, Jess.
He is still saying.
Sorry, my bad.
Well, of course, we're going to cover Americans with pre-existing conditions. In fact,
course.
A lot of my family members have gotten health care.
He talked about his family
I believe, you know, members of my family actually got private health insurance, at least for the first time, switched off of Medicaid onto private insurance for the first time under Donald Trump's leadership.
Yeah, because the economy was so great during COVID.
A lot of people have criticized this concepts of a plan remark.
Yes.
It's very simple common sense. I think as Tim Walz knows from 12 years in Congress, you're not going to propose a 900-page bill standing on a debate stage. It would bore everybody to tears.
You got anything?
And it wouldn't actually mean anything because part of this is the give and take of bipartisan negotiation.
Again, it's just words said with a smile and a calm voice and a handsome smile. You know, Jesus Lord. I mean, Trump has been saying for 9 years he's got a plan for health care. And there's no plan.
It's coming out in 2 weeks.
Oh, no. There is a plan.
It's
that 900-page document, that number didn't come from nowhere.
Yeah, that's Project 2025.
That's Project 2025. Yeah, 900 pages.
There you go.
Of course we're going to cover pre-existing conditions. Of course we are. Sorry, dude, I don't believe you. What else we got here? Okay, and this one, I think, is where the debate really ended. And this is decided on who won. Did Trump lose the election? Let's play 3-1, please.
He is still saying he didn't lose the election. I would just ask that. Did he lose the 2020 election?
Tim, I'm focused on the future. Did Kamala Harris censor Americans from speaking mind in the wake of the 2020 COVID situation?
What? That is a damning non-answer.
It's a damning non-answer for you to not talk about censorship. Obviously, Donald Trump and I think that there were problems in 2020. We've talked about it. I'm happy to talk about it further.
How happy are you?
They can't. They cannot bring themselves to say it.
Well, because the boss won't let him, and because the boss is traveling all over the country saying he won.
But he literally said the other day he lost by a whisker, and then he said
that was sarcastic.
At the debate, well, he said he lost by a whisker. Then he was asked about it at the debate. And then the debate, what his response was, while I was being sarcastic. And then he literally said in the state of Wisconsin this week, I lost by a whisker. He said it again. So, I mean, I'm sorry. I don't speak sarcasm. Although my wife wishes I did. I don't.
It's my mother tongue, by the way.
But come on. I'm here to talk about the future. They cannot admit the loss. We do have a texter that says, Vance's family went from Medicaid to the ACA, and then parentheticals, private insurance. So I'm not, I haven't verified that. I'm not sure if that's accurate or not, but we do appreciate. Apply the state logic to gun rights and see what happens. Yeah, there's a good one. Yeah, we don't want that here. You can't have that here. I guess that's probably the most, the gist of what we have on the debate.
Well, let me just, I thought Walz gave a great conclusion, so I just want to read one paragraph from it. The support of the democracy matters, Walz said. It matters that you're here. And I'm as surprised as anybody of this coalition that Kamala Harris has built, from Bernie Sanders to Dick Cheney to Taylor Swift and a whole bunch of folks in between there.
Right.
And we don't all agree on everything, but we're truly optimistic people. We believe in a positive future for this country, one where our politics can be better than it is. You know, that's good. The idea that freedom really means something, not the freedom of government to be in your bedroom or exam room, but the freedom for you to make choices about yourself. I thought it was a good close by Tim Walz.
Yeah, I would agree. He certainly ended strong. He didn't start out great. And again, I would reiterate the ease of lies. And I'm not going to say Tim Walz lied about his being in China or whatever. He could have misspoke. Maybe he lied. He physically reacted to the question and didn't respond in a great way. But I would, again, contrast that with the robot that was Vance in spewing the lies.
Lying about the national abortion ban, claiming that he has sympathy for victims who've died after the Trump abortion ban came.
Lying that he didn't. Yeah, exactly. Lying about the number of migrants in this country. I mean, it was nonstop. And when they actually, eventually, one time that I saw, and I think it was only one time, they turned the mics off because they were talking over each other, and this was regarding the migrants in Springfield, Ohio. And he was saying, Vance was saying that, oh, they're illegal. And of course, they're not illegal. They're here legally. And then Vance got all mad. Well, let me articulate that. They didn't, you know, stand in line for 10 years. Da, da, da. Well, And then the moderator shouts at Mike, well, thank you for explaining, you know, immigration law. That's irrelevant. You know, there's many ways to be here legally in this country.
He also was real whiny there, too.
He was. How dare you fact check me? How dare you call out my lies? And it wasn't just him. It was mega. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. That's Matt Rothschild. Jess is on the board. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez is going to join us next. Stick around.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. This is your local civic media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Democrats and Republicans in Wisconsin have picked new presidential electors. 10 Wisconsin Republicans posed as fake electors for Donald Trump 4 years ago. They agreed to a settlement last year that called for them to admit Joe Biden won. They also agreed not to serve as electors in any election involving Trump. A new report on agribusiness consolidation calls for better enforcement of antitrust laws. The report's author is Basil Musharbish.
It doesn't have to be this way. These firms are smart and powerful. They've executed strategies over decades. The U.S. government allowed it because we made policy decisions not to enforce the antitrust laws. We can take action to fix that.
The report finds decades of mergers have reduced competition, leading to higher costs for farmers and consumers. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. University of Wisconsin Stout students tackled food insecurity on Tuesday during the annual Packathon event. The university and the Menominee Rotary Club partnered for the fourth year of the event, and college students packed over 50,000 meals for area residents dealing with food insecurity. Nearly 400 students, staff, and community members participated in the event, and the packed meals will now be donated to various food pantries across Dunn County. The Rotary Club has been fighting food insecurity for over a decade. The Menominee Police Department says they've received possible school threat reports that they've deemed not credible. According to police officials, the first report was received on Monday and involved a Snapchat message regarding the threat. Another unrelated report was received on Tuesday regarding a different school, which was also deemed not credible. Officials are encouraging parents to talk about responsible internet usage with their children as unfounded threats continue to be reported around the Chippewa Valley. And that's what you need to know. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Okay, DC Comics fans, there is yet another movie in the pipeline. A film that will feature Batman villains Deathstroke and Bane is being developed. The Hollywood Reporter says the project is in the early stages. How early? There is only a writer and producer attached. The studio is in the middle of its search for a director and actors. Update your resumes. We haven't heard much from Haley Joel Osment lately, although he does turn up from time to time. As an 11-year-old, the actor was Oscar-nominated for his role in The Sixth Sense opposite Bruce Willis. Despite his tender age, the two became friends, and Osment said the friendship with Willis lasted long after the shooting, as Willis would call to check in on him from time to time over the years. Willis was diagnosed with dementia 2 years ago at the age of 69. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly clear and cooler tonight with a low in the mid-40s. Not as warm tomorrow, high upper 60s with increasing clouds. Sunny and upper 60s on Friday. Breezy for the weekend, upper 70s Saturday, only mid-60s Sunday. Currently at 75 degrees.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Congresswoman Summer Lee.
The American Stability Act doesn't just address the need for raising of the wage. The second thing is that tax reform piece, shifting the burden from the folks who are working class to the not just the 1%, the 0.01% of people who have seen so many benefits in this rigged system, and we have to start to unrig it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh.
Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Pat Kreitlow.
Thursday morning, Joe Zepecki's take on Tuesday's vice presidential debate and our weekly Women Win Wisconsin segment powered by Motherhood for Good.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. Appreciate you all tuning in and hanging out with us. Got Matt Rothschild in the studio with me, Jess on the board. And now, super jazzed to introduce to you Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez. Hey, Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It is our pleasure. Thank you for coming around. It's the political season. Going to talk about what's going on there. But we just wrapped up the last segment on the vice presidential debate that happened last night. Sarah, did you see it? And I wonder what your takeaway was.
Absolutely saw it. I was at a watch party in Eau Claire, so was able to see all the really excited folks who were looking to see Governor Walz and to be able to see the debate. I thought it went really well. You know, I thought Governor Walz showed who he was, which is a kind, thoughtful, intelligent man who is going to make a fantastic vice president. And I thought J.D. Vance showed who he is, which he is pretty slick, pretty good in terms of being able to lie and smile at the camera at the same time. Yeah. And, you know, he was able to do that, which should be disconcerting to so many people, that he was able to just lie with impunity and then had the gall to say something to the moderators when they were able to say something that was clearly not true in terms of particularly the immigrants from Haiti and Springfield, Illinois, which has been just heartbreaking for me as somebody whose husband is an immigrant.
Sarah, yeah, you were a nurse, your background, you're in the medical field. What was your sense of how Vance, J.D. Vance talked about the Affordable Care Act, and not going to present a 900-page document here on stage. Keep on talking about wanting to get rid of the ACA with no plan, but then they also revel in the fact that, hey, well, you know, if you have pre-existing conditions, you can get insurance. Well, it wasn't always that way, and I'm not clear that what they say, that if they have their way, Sarah, that would remain.
Correct. So one of the interesting things is he did not answer the question about individuals who would have pre-existing conditions if they would pay more. And so what he is actually wanting us to do is to go backwards to where we had high-risk pools for people who had chronic illnesses, who had issues with their health care, who had pre-existing conditions in the past, and they would pay more into this very high-risk pool and often was unaffordable for people. So the reason why we went with the Affordable Care Act is that you could have a pool of people who were healthy, who had some mild pre-existing conditions, to somebody who was very, very sick. And then we put that all together in one bucket so that everybody could have health insurance that was affordable. And what he's wanting to do is to get rid of the Affordable Care Act, which is instrumental in so many people in Wisconsin. And go back to what we had before, which did not work for the vast majority of people who have pre-existing conditions. And let's be clear, most of us have pre-existing conditions. And so we are going to have to pay more for that if we go to what Trump and Vance want to do.
And it may be prohibitively more, as you're saying. Didn't you think it was incredible? What was your reaction when Vance said that Donald Trump saved the Affordable Care Act?
I think I laughed out loud when he said that. It's just so absurd. I mean, he tried to overturn the ACA multiple times during his presidency. The only person who saved it was Senator John McCain when he did that thumbs down on the Senate floor. It was a huge deal at the time. And that's why he was such an issue with Senator John McCain. And so to try to pretend now that he was trying to save the Affordable Care Act makes no sense to me whatsoever. And it doesn't pass the sniff test for the regular Wisconsinites, for regular Americans like ourselves here.
How confident are you that Harris Walls are going to win Wisconsin?
So I do believe that they are going to win Wisconsin, but I think it's going to be tight. We know that our elections are really, really narrow in Wisconsin. Our margins are small. Trump won by around 20,000 votes. Biden won by around 20,000 votes. We're going to maybe see that same kind of margin within Wisconsin again, you know, with the presidential election. Sorry, that the dog is barking. I had no idea he was in the office with me.
No worries. Radio. It's a great thing.
Live radio. I apologize. I'm sure there's a squirrel outside that he's protecting me.
Yes.
That is what's really going to be the issue here, that they're not going to be able to do what they are saying they're going to do. They didn't save the ACA. They didn't do any of those things. And so, you know, we're just going to have to make sure that we're keeping them honest. We're calling them out on their lies, which are so numerous that it's so hard to be able to keep control of it and keep track of it. That's going to be the issue. So just really, yeah.
Lieutenant Governor, as you travel the state, are you seeing a great deal of enthusiasm, and are you seeing first-time voters, especially young women? I'm expecting a lot of young women to turn up at the polls for the first time and cast their ballot for Harris Walls.
I do think so. When I'm traveling the state, we have had record numbers of people who have been registering to vote within Wisconsin. Those often are younger people, women. I will tell you, I live in Waukesha County. That is a pretty, you know, can be a red county. It is turning purple. And that is because of women. Women are very, very frustrated with the Republican Party, even if they voted for the Republican Party before. And they are not going to be tolerating the type of rhetoric they're hearing from the Republican Party. They want to make sure that who they're voting for reflects their values. And that is not the Trump Vance ticket.
Jane Mantenere has a theory that a lot of women are going to go to the voting booth and their husbands are going to vote for Trump. And they may have told their husband they're voting for Trump too. But actually, in that ballot, in the secret booth, with our secret ballots, they're not going to pull the lever or fill in the button for Trump.
I don't disagree. You know, when I ran for assembly, I live in Waukesha County. There were many times where I would come to doors and ask for their signature to get on the ballot, and the wife would sign and the husband would not. And that was really interesting to me. And that was sort of our first clue that as we're, you know, going forward, that women are going to be such a monumental force within this election. And we know those percentages based on women versus men in terms of how they're voting for Harris versus Trump. It's a huge difference within the electorate. And women vote, right? We vote and we want to make sure that our rights are protected. And so I think you're going to see that in the general vote when we come through this November. And I'm really hoping that that's going to be enough. But the reality is we're going to have to work hard. We're going to have to knock on doors. We are going to have to make sure we're bringing that message to every single county within Wisconsin, no matter how red that county is, because we know that the values that the Harris-Walls campaign are putting forward are the values that Wisconsinites are absolutely embracing. And we just have to make sure we're getting that message out there.
And in every so-called red county, you know, there's 30, even the reddest counties, there's 30-35% of people who vote blue, and there are a lot of independents there too. So I'm glad you mentioned that. It's important to not give up on any county and not give the illusion that a whole county is gone red.
Right.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez from the great state of Wisconsin joining us for a few more minutes. Sarah, we just spoke with Charles Franklin from the Marquette Law School polling, and the independents, as mentioned, are really coming over to the Harris side. How important is that, and what do you think needs to be done to continue to draw in those independent voters?
I think we just need to compare the very stark differences between the two campaigns. You have got Vice President Harris, who has solid policy ideas. She's put out very detailed plans. She has a new way forward for the administration, for the U.S., for Wisconsin. And then you want to compare that to what Trump has put out, which are just concepts of a plan, which is he said in that debate. But other people have been creating plans for him. You look at Project 2025, mm-hmm. which I tell you, I have a family member who often votes Republican. When I started talking about what was in Project 2025, even a month ago, he did not believe me because it was so extreme. He thought I was making it up. And so I sent it to him and I said, no, this is the playbook for a Trump administration. Getting rid of the Department of Education, banning abortion nationwide, risking IVF and certain forms of birth control, getting rid of very competent civil service folks within the government. I know from working within the government that these individuals, regardless of the administration, are what keeps the ship floating and moving forward. Whether that's in Wisconsin or where that's in the federal government, you don't want to have all of these political appointees that who don't have the skills to be able to manage government. And so that's what Trump really wants to do. And so I really encourage people, particularly if they know somebody who often votes Republican or is an independent, let them know what Project 2025 is about and make sure that they're aware how extreme these views are.
Lieutenant Governor Rodriguez, the new maps, we got new maps, used to be in the assembly. I'm hearing that we might have a shot at the assembly. What kind of impact, how important is that going to be to this this election cycle?
Well, I can't tell you how important that's going to be. And we talked about this having headwinds, you know, from the Harris-Walz campaign, but also tailwinds from these new maps. It's been about 12 years that we have not had maps that have represented the state of Wisconsin. The governor and I, we won by a little over 3 percentage points in our last election. We are a purple state. We go back and forth between Democrats and Republicans. Our legislature should reflect that fact. And it does not today. The Senate is a supermajority Republican, and the Assembly is 2 seats short of a supermajority. Normal people are going to look at that and say, that does not make sense. And so that's what happened. We were able to implement new maps, and we are running Democrats in 97 out of the 99 assembly districts and every single Senate district that is up. If we are able to take control of that assembly, we are going to be able to put legislation out there that Wisconsinites want that we have not been able to do before. I'm a nurse by background. One of those areas is Medicaid expansion. We are only one of 10 states that has not expanded Medicaid. And we're the only state that are actually using taxpayer dollars for a little bit of the expansion where we could be getting a match from the federal government. That is almost $2 billion over the biennium that are coming out of taxpayer wallets that could actually be used to invest in healthcare, to have more mental health professionals, to be able to shore up our rural healthcare systems. This is really, really important that we're able to do this. And we haven't even been able to get it into committee because Robin Voss, who has been the assembly speaker, has refused to do it. And so if we have a new speaker in the assembly, that's going to come to the floor. And Republicans are going to have to explain to their constituents why they don't want $2 billion in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, Sarah, that's $2 billion in this biennium. I mean, there's been many bienniums where you haven't taken the money already. So add that to the pile of money that the Republicans will not allow the state to receive from the federal government because of why?
You'd have to ask them. I mean, it's just been this political football, yeah. And it doesn't make fiscal sense, and it doesn't make moral sense in a way. I mean, this is about making sure people can take care of their diabetes. This is making sure that people have the medications that they can take care of their high blood pressure, making sure that, you know, everybody is able to work the amount of hours that they can, because otherwise they're going to lose their health insurance. And so when we looked at this overall, we're talking about certified nursing assistants. We're in such high demand within the state of Wisconsin. We have a huge shortage, but many of them don't get paid very well. And so if we expanded Medicaid, and many of them are on Badger Care or Medicaid within the state of Wisconsin, they would be able to work more hours because they wouldn't lose their health insurance. That would be a huge bonus for the healthcare system here in Wisconsin.
Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Kamala Harris coming to the Fox Valley, I believe, Thursday. Are you going to be able to get up and see her?
So I've got another thing going on Thursday, but I just saw her very, very recently when she was in Madison. And let me tell you how kind this woman is. She is smart. She pays attention. Her policies are on tact. And I brought my daughter, and she talked to her for over 5 minutes.
Oh, that's great. Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, thank you so much for joining us today. Good luck. We'll be keeping track. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matinee on Air.
Are record energy costs putting a squeeze on your fixed or limited incomes? With inflation rising at record levels and incomes not keeping pace, you might be one of tens of thousands of Wisconsin residents who are struggling to survive in the blistering heat of summer or the bitter cold of winter. While you haven't asked for it, the Keep Wisconsin Warm Cool Fund and your local energy assistance providers are here to help. No Wisconsin resident should ever have to face the challenge of living without heat or power or face homelessness. For a hand up, apply today and call 1-800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org. That's 800-506-5596 or visit www.kwwf.org.
Farmers in Wisconsin have always been ahead of the times, and it's no different in the mid-1800s. George Esterly was running a large wheat farm outside of Whitewater, but reaping his crop by hand was back-breaking work. Esterly invented a mechanical harvesting machine and used it in his own fields in 1844. He then won a Chicago Mechanics Gold Medal 4 years later. But was he the first in the country to build a harvesting machine? The answer is coming up. Esterly followed up his win by opening a factory in the Whitewater area, building the harvesting machines and eventually other farm equipment too. By the 1880s, 500 people worked there. So was Esterly the first in the country to build a new mechanical harvesting machine? Yes, this man's early farm invention lives on as a remarkable slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, last segment of the day. If you got something to say, hit me up right now, 855-752-4842. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, for joining us. I always appreciate speaking with her. It's been a while. She is sharp. The phone line, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone line. It's a text line. We got a few of those. Let's get to them. I think Trump found his snake in Vance. Yeah, I mean, if that's what you're looking for. He got up. Republicans that cannot be trusted, says Gary from Madison. Just look at Tommy Thompson. Ooh. Oh, man. Poor Tommy, man. How we have fallen.
Just so grotesque that Tommy was fronting for Trump yesterday all over Wisconsin, acting like his, you know, his usher.
Oh, it was terrible. Great show, Dom. Thank you, WMDX. Couldn't do it without you folks or Matt or Jess. Appreciate all of you. Let's get to some callers before we wrap up with some of the final highlights, lowlights of Trump in Wisconsin. John from Madison, you are up. Welcome, John. What do you got for us?
Well, last night when they cut the mic, it was only after J.D. Vance went on blabbing his lies. And when Walz countered him, then they shut it off, which tells me again that CBS and major media are in the bag for Trump.
Hmm.
I saw people go, oh, yeah, hey, they cut the mics off.
yeah.
of both of them. It's like, no, it's, you know, not until Walls started countering him. And kind of absurd. I mean, you go back to 16 and Les Moonves admitted they gave more time to Drumpf. And so...
Yeah, he might be
a straight reporter. Oh crap!
He might be John, and thank you for the call, man. You know, talking about Donald Trump and movie as he might be bad for the country, but he's great for the bottom line.
Oof, one of the that quote just does not hold well.
I don't know that I took it as at least in that particular case when they cut the mics off, because you know Vance. They tried to talk over him, and pull it in. They finally let him go for a minute or a few seconds, whatever. And then Walls jumped in, and he went for a little bit. Then it was the crosstalk, and then they just shut them both off. So I think in this case, they've kind of let Vance go a little bit longer than they should have. So, but I don't know if that was media, it was bias per se. I thought they did a good enough job. Matt, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I thought they were fine. I don't think CBS is in the bag for Trump. They were before with Les Moonves when they were giving.
Well, they're in a bag for making money and getting viewers. I mean,
and they were getting eyeballs. Yep. And they were getting advertising money, and that's what they all were doing. It wasn't just CBS back in 2015 and 2016. It was just reputable that they did that.
The decline of Western civilization will be televised live.
Yeah, as long as we're making money, we'll televise it. So, I mean, that's what was so just horribly annoying. Back in 2015, 2016, I think they've learned a little bit between then and now. But still, you know, I still think Trump helps them with ratings. And so they like having Trump around, even when he's saying things that maybe a lot of the reporters don't agree with or the producers.
Or make any sense. We got a little bit of the sound just a little bit. Let's do Sweepy Twumpy Wumpy, who can't follow a thought. I believe. Nice description, Jess. Let's do 4-2, please.
Sure. I have got no idea what he's saying, but let's take a listen.
All right, listen.
Your basketball arena, we're all sort of set, and we're going to do Green Bay. We'll do it the day before the game as opposed to the day of the game. But Michaela graduated with honors from high school in May and is going to school for...
So this was yesterday in Milwaukee,
yep,
where they were playing up school choice.
Yes.
And that's mostly what he was talking about. But you know, when he's on script, he just kind of drones on. He doesn't like being on script.
Well, and this was the second event too. He was physically tired. You could see the old man kind of leaning over.
He was leaning over the podium.
Yeah, man, like,
drooping.
What, dude?
Very tired. You know, I watched both speeches. Those are 3 hours I'm never going to get back. but it was painful.
It was.
And, you know, what has he got? I mean, he's still whining in both speeches about Biden not being the candidate and calling it a coup. He can't get over that. All he's got against Kamala Harris is calling her, what does he call her now? Welfare. Harris is, you know, a tax queen, as though it's an echo of welfare queen.
Calling her
a Marxist. Calling her names and blaming immigrants. That's all he's got.
And they do it over and over and over again. Well, regarding the immigrants, apparently they come out of the Congo, says Trump. Let's play 4.1.
These people are among the worst in the world. They come from the Congo in Africa. Many people from the Congo. I don't know what that is, but they come out of jails in the Congo.
What, dude?
I don't think he knows where he is.
Their jails are being emptied into the United States.
This
their
is,
gang members
all over.
Are being taken out of Caracas, Venezuela, and lots of other places, which is a rough city, rough, very dangerous city.
Time and time again.
And I thought it wasn't
being
rough.
Delivered into the United States.
I thought they were fine now because they sent us all the prisoners.
You see what's happening in Aurora?
What's happening in Aurora? I mean, it's just the same blather over and over.
But I think his strategist, or at least he in his strategic mind, when he has it, thinks every time he mentions immigrants, it's a win for him. Maybe it is. Maybe we shouldn't even talk about it because that's all he can talk about. He's got to think he's winning with it.
Let's play one more. Do you trust the process this time around? Cut 4.3, please.
Do you trust the process this time around?
Did I what?
Do you trust the process this time around?
I'll let you know in about 33 days. No, look, I'm in.
Same criminal.
I only love the Constitution and America when I win.
Same criminal. Keep doing the same crime over and over again.
Folks, thank you so much for listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you, Charles Franklin, director of the Marquette University Law School poll. Also, Lieutenant Governor from the great state of Wisconsin, Sarah Rodriguez. Thank you, Matt Rothschild. Do this again next week
anytime,
if you're able. Thank you, Jess, working so hard. And thank you, our fair audience. Couldn't do it without you. Stick around. Pete Schwab, Nightlight, coming up next.
listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, all about election security, what happens to ballots after you cast your vote. Hour number two, Alexander Vindman, should be fascinating. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming.